Hi, this is Rick Warren, Bible teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Did you know that because of Easter, your past can be forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and you can have a home in heaven? That's good news. Where else can you get that kind of news? Nowhere else. And did you know that at Easter, studies have shown people are more open to an invitation to go to church than at any other time of the year? Don't go to church by yourself, but bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a relative. And if you bring them to that church service and they come to know Christ, you're going to be making a friend for eternity. It'll be the most important investment you can ever make in their lives. And by the way, if they come to Christ, would you let me know about it? I'd love to hear that story that you brought somebody to Easter and they found Jesus. You can write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. I would love to hear from you. God bless you and happy Easter.
Hello and welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Well, this weekend across every continent and in thousands of languages, millions of people will join together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our faith. But you know, it doesn't stop there. Not only was Jesus resurrected, He is still alive. So let's go to Pastor Rick as he continues with part two of a message called How Jesus Revitalizes Your Life.
Number four, he offers you forgiveness. That's the fourth thing Jesus did when he met his followers after he came back to life on Easter Sunday. He offers you forgiveness. Now, this is important because forgiveness is a huge re-energizer. Because the two biggest leaks in your tank, the two things that cause you to run out of energy and to drain emotionally and physically are A, guilt, and B, resentment. And the answer to both is forgiveness. Guilt and resentment are the twin emotions that rob you of your energy. You cannot be guilty and happy at the same time. You cannot be resentful and happy at the same time. Now that's a problem. Because we live in an imperfect world. We live in a broken planet where there's a thing called sin. That means I don't always do the right thing, and you don't either. I make mistakes, sometimes I'm selfish, and we hurt each other, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Now, when I hurt you, what I feel is guilt. And when you hurt me, what I feel is resentment. And those two things, guilt over the things that I've done wrong in the world, and resentment over the things that have been done wrong to me, are the twins that keep me stuck in emotionally empty positions. They drain the life out of me. And if you're ever going to be happy in life, you got to learn how to let it go, how to let go of your guilt to God, and how to let go of your resentment against other people. And there's only one way to do that, forgiveness. That's why the next thing Jesus said is this. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. But if you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, guys, I have forgiven you. You're completely forgiven. That's why I died on the cross. I died on the cross for all the things you've ever done wrong. So you are forgiven. Now, I expect you to do the same thing with other people. Pass it on. Cut them a little slack. Show them some grace. I have forgiven you, Jesus said, I've forgiven you of everything you've ever done wrong. Now, I expect you to forgive other people. Why? Because guilt and resentment keep you running on empty. Guilt and resentment keep you stuck in the past. You can't get on with the future. Guilt and resentment warp your personality. You get angry, you get sarcastic, you get cynical the more bitter you become. Guilt and resentment ruin relationships. I was having dinner with a couple one time that I did their wedding years and years ago. And the lady said to me, you know, Pastor Rick, when I was walking down that aisle in that white dress, I had no idea that I was carrying along with me garbage sacks of guilt and grudges. I thought, that's a word picture. I was carrying with me garbage sacks of guilt and grudges from previous hurts and relationships. And I brought them all into this marriage, and it nearly killed the marriage. Guilt and resentment ruin marriages and ruin relationships. Now, when you've got garbage in your house, you have to take it out periodically or the house starts stinking. You don't just pile it up in the corner. You got to get rid of the guilt and get rid of the grudges. So, question. Who do you need to let go of today? Who do you need to let off the hook? Say, well, I just can't do that. They hurt me. That's right. That's why you need Jesus. You can't do it on your own power. Forgiveness is not earned, it is not easy, and it certainly isn't fun. But it's what lets you get on with your life. Last year, there was a dear friend of mine, close friend, long-term friend, who started stabbing me in the back secretly, and I didn't know about it. And because of their pride and their jealousy, they just started going around spreading rumors, spreading lies, spreading gossip, doing things that were to hurt me. And I had no idea this was even going on for a long, long time. And when I finally figured it out, it hurt me so bad. And I just started going over it and over. Why would they do that? Why would they hurt me like that? Well, I mean, what have I done to hurt them? And I sometimes I'd go to bed at night, and as I'd lay down, I'd start to write these angry letters to them in your mind. You ever done this? Oh, let me tell you a word or two, you know? And I'm just going, wait a minute, this isn't helping. All this resentment in me is not hurting that person one bit. It's just making me miserable. I got to let it go. So I said, God, help me just let it go. It doesn't matter what they've done to me. It's then going to change the past. So help me just let it go. And that's what God says he wants you to do. He says, just let it go. Now, forgiveness is the key to happiness. Look at the next verse. Happy is the person whose sins are forgiven and whose wrongs are pardoned. Happy is the person whom the Lord does not consider guilty anymore. Now, circle the word happy. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. Now, because of the cross and because of Easter, we have been completely forgiven if we've accepted that forgiveness. And so we, of all people, have a reason to celebrate, a reason to be happy, because I don't have a guilty conscience. It's all been forgiven. That's a happy day. Now, I know you'd never know it looking at my body, but I love Krispy Kreme donuts. And it's not just the donut, it is the cream inside, the Krispy Kreme. Friends, that filling is the nectar of the gods. They haven't invented a word to describe how delicious that cream is. Actually, I think Krispy Kreme is the Hebrew word for manna in the Old Testament. I think that's what God actually showered down to them. Now, it's interesting that whenever we're empty on the inside, we always have to have a filling of some kind. I wonder, what is your standard preferred filling when you're running on empty? Some of you, when you hit the end of the day and you're tired and you're wiped out and you're fatigued, you come home, you fill your emptiness with television. And you flop down on a couch or a sofa or something, and you watch several hours of television, and you fill your emptiness with entertainment. Others of you, when you feel empty on the inside, you fill yourself with food. Or you fill yourself with alcohol or porn or one-night stands. Some of you, when you're feeling empty, you head for the club, for the bar, for the singles scene to fill up that emptiness. Some of you, when you're running on empty, you fill yourself with pain pills to take away the pain. Everybody has something. It may be a hobby, it may be a sport. The number one feeling that people have when they're feeling empty, more work. I'll just keep working. And I'll work harder and harder and harder and harder and harder because I don't like the way I feel when I slow down. I don't like the emptiness that creeps back into my life. So I'll just keep busy. So when I go to sleep at night, I put my head down. I don't have to think. I just fall asleep. And we overwork to hide our emptiness. Now, all of these things, the good and the bad, they all have one thing in common. None of them last. None of them keep you satiated. None of them keep you filled up. You get hungry again. Now, Jesus Christ, God, offers you a permanent filling inside you. He said, I will put myself in you. I will put my spirit in you. I will fill you up with me. And that will fill the emptiness that you feel. That's the next thing Jesus does. Number five on the back of your outline, he fills you with his presence when you're running on empty. Now, Jesus said, I don't want to just be with you, I want to be in you. And he says in verse 22 to these guys, then Jesus breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the Holy Spirit? What is this, Casper the Friendly Ghost? You know, what is the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, I want to be with you. No, I want to be in you all the time, moment by moment. The Bible calls this being filled with the Spirit, being empowered and dwelled and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, does that sound kind of spooky to you, being filled with the Spirit? Woo! You know, I'm Spirit-filled. What does that mean? Is that going to turn me into some kind of weirdo, some wacko, some religious nut, where all of a sudden I talk different and I wear polyester and have a comb over and, you know, and I wear a big bouffant hairdo and I say, baby, or, you know, Jesus, you know, and I don't even talk right anymore? No. God doesn't need any more weirdos. There are plenty of them already in the world. Don't look at them. Okay, come on, this is church. Be cool. All right, just don't look at them. There are enough weirdos in the world. God doesn't need any more weirdos. Actually, when God puts himself in you, you become more you. You become more natural. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. And if you're a man, it makes you more masculine. And if you're a female, it makes you more feminine. It makes you become what God intended for you to be in the first place before all the things in life broke us all up into pieces. It doesn't turn you into wacko. It makes you more normal. It makes you more natural. It makes you more alive, more enjoying of life. So what does it exactly feel like? What does it look like? What does it feel like to be filled with God's Spirit? Well, let me tell you a couple things it does. Number one, you stop being lonely. You stop being lonely because you realize God is with me all the time. And I may be alone, but I am not lonely. You can be in a large crowd and still be lonely. But God says, I want to be with you every moment of your life. And it just takes away your loneliness when you realize he is with you and in you all the time. A couple months ago, my older brother died, Jim. And I went through a very lonely period for several weeks. I just felt loneliness. You say, how could you feel lonely? You get recognized everywhere you go. Well, I did. All of a sudden, I realized my dad had died, and my mom had died, and my older brother had died, and the three people who knew me from my very birth, who knew where Rick Warren came from, are no longer here. They're in heaven. And I felt lonely. And I thought, even one day my wife will die, or I'll die, or my kids will die, or my grandkids will die. Because God didn't mean for us to stay here on earth forever where it's broken. He wants us to live forever where it's perfect in heaven. So that's why relationships don't last here. And I was feeling lonely. And if you've ever lost a loved one, you know that comes in waves. And you handle it, and then you don't. Then you handle it, and you don't. And when those waves of loneliness would come on me, I would say, God, I need to feel your presence right now. I need you to remind me that you're with me and that you're in me. And this sense of peace would come over me that could not be explained any other way. I remember sitting right here on this front row during my brother's funeral and feeling this sense of total peace and total presence of God in my life. And I'm just going, I'm handling this. It's okay. I'm handling it. And I want you to know that's not normal. Having been in hundreds of funerals, I have looked in the eyes of people who have no hope, who don't have a belief system, who don't know Jesus Christ. You see, the test of what you believe is not how you handle the parties of life. The test of what you believe is how do you handle the funerals? And if you don't have a relationship with God, what are you going to hold on to in that moment when you're losing the dearest things to you? And so it helps you take away the loneliness because even though I'm by myself, I'm not alone. God is with me. The other thing that happens when I'm filled with God's Spirit, he puts his Spirit in my life, is you start producing certain character qualities. There are 9 of them listed in the Bible. They're called the fruit of the Spirit because you kind of grow them slowly like fruit. It doesn't happen overnight. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those are good things. I want to be more loving. I want to be more joyful. I want to be more peaceful. Patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. I want those things in my life. They come from having God in my life. Now, when somebody says to you, you're full of it, is that a compliment? You're full of it. Well, it all depends on what the it is. If they say you're full of it and they mean you're jealous, well, no, that's not good. You're full of it, that means you're egocentric, you're self-serving, you only think of yourself. No, that's not good. But if they say you're full of it and you're full of love and joy and peace and patience and self-control, that's good stuff. Notice this next verse. The Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, His Spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. Would you circle those three words? Power, love, and self-control. You see, when you're running on empty, that's the exact three things you need when you're out of gas. You need power to keep going, you need love to build relationships, and you need self-control to keep from self-destructing. He fills you with His presence. Number six, the sixth thing Jesus does when you're running on empty is He gives you a new reason to live. He gives you a new reason to live. And this is important too, because another reason you're running on empty is you don't know the purpose of your life. You were made for far more than money. Making money is not the ultimate goal in life. You were made for meaning. And all the money in the world will not replace a lack of meaning. Last Wednesday night, I was down at the St. Regis Hotel in Dana Point, where I had been invited by a corporation to come down and speak to 1,000 of their managers that they'd brought in from all over the United States. And I talked to them about success and why doesn't success satisfy? If I'm so successful, why don't I feel more fulfilled? If I'm so successful, why do I always want more? If I'm so successful, why do I feel like a fake? And I said, the reason why is because you were made for more than success. God made you for significance. And all the success in the world will not take away or take care of a lack of significance in your life. You're made for more than money. You're made for meaning. You're made for more than possessions. You're made for a purpose. And all the possessions in the world will not compensate for a lack of purpose in your life. And that's why you still run on empty. So what do? Well, you have to turn to God and let Him give you His purpose for your life. You're not an accident. Now, guys, particularly, some of you think, well, Rick, I've talked to guys like this before. Rick, I don't really feel like I want to become a believer, a follower of Jesus, because don't they just kind of like sit around in prayer groups and pray? Don't they like sit around and just talk nice and discuss stuff? You know, skip over the hills of Jerusalem and pick flowers and talking about peace and love. No, thank you. I can't think personally as a man, I can't think of anything more boring than that. As a man, I need something big to chew on. I need something, a challenge. I need something that makes me be a man. I need something that is so big, it forces me to grow to be a greater person. Now, all of us, men or women, need something greater than ourselves that pulls us out of ourselves so we don't live these little selfish clods of lives and causes us to become what God meant for us to be in the first place, greater than we ever thought. Let me tell you something. God's plan for your life is greater than any plan you could ever think up for yourself. Your little plans are puny compared to what God wants to do with your life. If you would just let Him have control in every area. I'm exhibit A of this. I have no idea why God has done what He's done in my life. It's just I said yes. Following Jesus Christ is not for wimps. It's not for cowards. It's not for lazy people. It's not for people who like to live in the shallows of life and play it safe. No, it takes courage to be a man of God. It takes courage to be a woman of God, to say, God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm yours. You use me for your purpose, for good and for God in this world. I don't want to just live a little selfish life and pitter-patter around. I want to go for the big stuff, go for the gusto. It takes courage because God's plan for your life is so much bigger than your plans for your own life. And it'll test you and it'll stretch you and it'll grow your faith. That's what Jesus did with these guys. These guys were all discouraged. Look, we all turned tail. We all wiped out. We copped out. We flaked out on Jesus. So I'm sure He's through with us. And Jesus comes to him. He says, no, look at this, verse 21. Jesus says again, peace be to you. Second time He said it. As the Father sent me, I now send you. He says, guys, I know you blew it. You made mistakes. You didn't stay with me in the tough time. But He said, I got a plan. We're going to take on the world. I got a world-changing plan. And they did. And this little group of now 11 guys went out, and soon it's all over the Middle East. And soon, within 300 years, it's overtaken the Roman Empire. And today, 2.3 billion people in the world claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. It was the biggest task ever given. Now, let me ask you a question. What are you living for? Yeah, what are you living for? I didn't ask you what you're living on. What are you living for? The problem in Orange County is people have a lot to live on and nothing to live for. They need a purpose. They need a goal. What does God want me to do? Well, I don't have time to get into all of that today, but here's one of the things. Look at the next verse. He says, I want you to go out into the world uncorrupted, like a breath of fresh air in a squalid and polluted society. He said, just be a breath of fresh air to people. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. He's saying, I don't expect you to be perfect. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He says, just give people a glimpse of what it's like to live a good life and to live for God, the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. What's the light-giving message? It's what we've just been talking about, all these things. You must shine among them like stars lighting up the sky. Would you circle the word shine? What does God want you to do? He wants you to shine in a dark world. Now, why? Because most people today live mediocre lives. Petty, shallow, self-centered, mediocre lives. And when you find somebody who knows God and knows that God's purpose for their life and is fulfilling that purpose, they shine like a star. It is so unusual to find people who know God and know His purpose and are doing it. When you find them, they're like stars. They stand out like on a dark night in stark contrast to the mediocre living most people live. God says, I want you to shine like a star. I want you to be a star and represent me in the world.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. The words that Jesus spoke during His final hours on the cross hold the key to finding fulfillment in your life, career, and relationships. That's why Rick put together a powerful 7-session study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. Get it now and unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before His resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more.
And this is a life-changing Bible study with 7 video sessions and a workbook.
Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us because your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.